You have to know, angels have been given assignment. They've been given duty to protect you.
And now for The Names of God, Part 2, Jehovah Sabaoth.
Well, thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. Welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us online at brothersoftheword.com or Facebook or other social media. Welcome to today's service. Always a wonderful delight and joy to have you to tune in and join us. Well, I would like to share just a little humor. I've been sharing some children's letters to God, and I have just a few, and I'll share these few. Little Donnie, he wrote a letter to God. He said, "Dear God, is Reverend Cole a friend of yours, or do you just know him through business?" And little Peter, he wrote a letter. He said, "Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year." And little Larry, he wrote, he says, "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother." And little Nan, she wrote, "Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I can never do it." Well, we are sharing part 2 of The Names of God. The Names of God. We shared the first one, first name of God last time, which was Jehovah Gamola. And so in this series, I'm just sharing some names of God. I don't know if I'll share all the names of God because they are so numerous, but we'll work through several of them. And initially, I'm sharing some that are more or less unfamiliar. We're not as familiar with these few names that I'm sharing. You know, they're names that I had never really heard of, and I've been around a long time. I've been in church all my life, and I had never heard these names, and I'm sure some of you all have never heard them either. So I thought I would share some of the more interesting names of God in the beginning. So the first few are kind of uncommon names that we don't normally hear in reference to God. All the names of God, they reveal a part of his character. And so we're able to understand God a little bit better when we understand his name, because his name reveals a part of his character. His name reveals a part of who he is, a part of how he operates, a part of what he does. And you can clearly see it in conjunction with his name. So his name reveals himself. And so we shared last time a couple of scriptures that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And we also talked about in Psalms 91 that because we have known his name, because we have known his name, he lifts us up. He honors us and so forth. So there's a host of benefits that come along with knowing God's name. And so I thought it was wonderful to be able to explore the names of God as they reveal his character. They reveal his person. They reveal who he is, how he operates, what he does. And it just helps us to have a better picture of him and helps us to place our trust in him in even a more intimate, personal way. And so today we're talking about the names of God, part 2. And the name that we're sharing today is Jehovah Sabaoth, or the way I like to pronounce it, or would like to pronounce it, is Jehovah Sabaoth. For some reason, Sabaoth just sounds powerful. I like that. But when I looked up some of the pronunciations, they normally pronounce it Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth. You know, that sounds a little bit more subtle. Personally, I like Jehovah Sabaoth. I like that, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth. But anyway, let me spell it for you. It's T, and the T is silent, but it's T-S-E-B-O-A-T-H. And so that's where we get Sabaoth or Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth. So whichever way you want to pronounce it is fine. But Jehovah Sabaoth or Jehovah Sabaoth, what it means the Lord of hosts, means the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. Sometimes we forget that God is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. Means that he is the chief commanding officer. He's chief in command. He's the chief commanding officer. Sort of like the way the president of the United States is really the chief commanding officer. God is the Lord of hosts. He's the chief commanding officers. He commands his hosts. He's in charge of armies. God is in charge of armies. And so he's a general. He commands. He's the Lord of hosts. There are armies at his disposal. There are armies that he utilizes. That are armies that work for him, that serve him. And so Jehovah Sabaoth, it means the Lord of hosts. It comes from the Hebrew word, the root word, Saba. Saba means armies, means hosts or multitudes. It also means to wage war. It also means to render service to God. So as you can see, these are armies that are prepared for battle, and they serve God. And God is the Lord of hosts. He's the chief commanding officer. And so God commands hosts. And it just reminds us that God is the commander-in-chief. He is the commander-in-chief. He is in control. And he has all authority and power. So this name reminds us that God is all-powerful. He has all authority. He commands the hosts. He is the Lord of hosts. And it lets us know that he moves on the behalf of his people. He moves on the behalf of his people, and there is supernatural deliverance for us. And so this really bolsters your faith, because God is in charge of the hosts. He commands the hosts, all the armies he commands. And he uses them for us. He uses them for our behalf. They carry out his service, and they are awaiting God's instructions to be used for our deliverance. They're to be used for, you know, to move on our behalf. And so it's a powerful thing when you really dig into this. Let me give you the first example of hosts. Remember, he's the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to this. This is probably the first mention of the word host. Listen to this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Heaven and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And what is referring to is referring to all the stars, referring to all of creation, referring to all the planets, all the planetary stars, all the celestial bodies, all of the solar system. Heaven and earth were finished, and all the host of them. If you got an inkling of how vast space is, and how vast the solar system is, and how vast all the galaxies are, is literally mind-boggling. It's infinite. You know that I've read studies that says that there are more stars, planetary stars, than there are grains of sand on all of the beaches and deserts of the world. There are more stars than all of the grains of sands on all the beaches and deserts of the world. So it lets us know, man, this is a vast universe on top of a universe, on top of a universe, galaxies upon galaxies. All the host of them, heaven and earth were completed, and all the host of them, God commands that host. Oh boy, God commands that host. God commands that host. God commands that host. Here's another one, Psalms 147, verse 4. It says, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Now, this is so fascinating. I remember my brother Bishop Dale. One time, Bishop Dale gave the literal count of the stars, and he got over into explaining that it was a million, million, billion, trillion, sextillion. So he went into all of these, you know, these really heavy words that explain the number of stars. You know, it was just sextillions, trillions, gabillions. I mean, just words you can't even pronounce. That's how many stars there are. So it's just an infinite number of stars. God calls all of them by name. He calls all of them by name. And he commands the stars. And so he'll say, Orion, I need you to move. I need you to move. You ever wonder why we have shooting stars? Well, God told it to move. So God commands the host of them. God commands all the stars. He commands everything in heaven and earth. He has all authority and power. And he's the Lord of hosts, but he moves on behalf of his people. He moves on our behalf. And he uses these things actually for supernatural deliverance for us. We're going to talk about some of them. Check this one out. This is over in, you don't have to turn there, but over in the book of Judges, chapter 4 and 5, there was a particular woman, powerful lady. Ladies are powerful. Not just in today's time, but ladies have always been powerful. Since the beginning of time, I dare to say. Man, I can tell the women really like what I'm saying right now. Ladies have always been powerful. But in Judges chapter 4, one of the judges of Israel was a female by the name of Deborah. Deborah was a powerful lady. And Deborah was in charge, and so she was coordinating and navigating, and Deborah called one of the leaders of Israel, and she said, look, you need to take our army down here, and I'm going to draw the enemy there. You'll be able to defeat them. God will give you the victory. And I want you to hear the power and the confidence and the faith Deborah spoke with. I had never seen someone so confident, so powerful, and so faithful. Deborah said, the Lord's going to give them into your hand. You're going to defeat them, and God's going to give you the victory. And man, she was just so powerful. And so the gentleman she was talking to, his name was Barack, not Obama, but his name was Barack. His name was Barack. And, you know, Barack was so taken by Deborah. He said, look, I'll do it if you go with me. Because she was so confident, she knew they could win. She knew that God would give them the victory. She had the gift of faith in operation, and it was so convincing and so confident. Barack said, I'll do it, but I need you to go with me. He wanted her with him. She said, I'll go. So she went with him, and they commanded the armies. And so they were across this valley or this plain, and the other army was on the other side. And so this valley was between them. And the other army, they had more resources. And so they had iron chariots. Their chariots had spikes in the wheels. And so they would just run you over, and their chariots would just cut you to pieces. And so they were a more advanced army. They had more advanced tech, and they were known for the iron chariots because they would just run you over and cut you to pieces because they had spikes in the wheel and all of that. You know, so this army looked over at the little meager army of Israel, and you know, they almost laughed, and then the battle was on. And so this army was coming down the hill, and Israel was coming down the hill, and they were going to meet in this valley to fight. What I want you to know, in chapter 5, Deborah tells what happened. Israel experienced a supernatural delivery. It started raining, and because the rain, the floods caused those chariots to get stuck. And so it froze the other army, and they just had to get out the chariots and run, and Israel was able to beat them. And Deborah began to sing because she said, "The Lord of hosts, he moved the stars to control the weather to make it rain." And she understood it was the Lord of hosts who had moved in on this situation. God who commands the hosts, he moved the stars to mess with the weather pattern, to make it rain, so that it would trap the enemy to give Israel deliverance. And she gave praise and sang about the deliverance of the Lord of hosts, because he commands the hosts. God commands the hosts. We also find it with Joshua. Joshua's in a very similar situation. Joshua was fighting a battle, and Joshua knew that if he could have enough daylight, he could beat them as long as he finished the battle that day. He said, if we can do it now, we can beat them. But if we don't do it by this day's end, we will not be able to beat them. And so Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." He was now appealing to the Lord of hosts to control the stars, to hold the sun in place, so that the sun wouldn't go down and they would have daylight so that they could win the battle. And sure enough, the Lord of hosts held the sun in place. And Joshua, they were able to defeat the army. So we see the Lord of hosts actually using the stars, using the heavenly bodies for our deliverance. This is the Lord of hosts. He commands the armies. He commands celestial bodies. Folks, you know, I didn't realize his name was the Lord of hosts, but I have used the Lord of hosts. I can remember I was going out of my house one day, and it was bitterly cold. And I just said a very simple prayer. And I think I was going to an outdoor picnic or something. And it was bitterly cold. And this was the middle of the winter. It was bitterly cold. And I said, "Lord, it's cold." I said, "Would you mind warming it up a little bit for me?" I said, "Just warm it up a little bit for me." And you know, when I got to that picnic, you know, it was actually warm. It was unseasonably warm. And I didn't even realize what I was doing. I was tapping into Jehovah Sabaoth, or Sabaoth, however you all want to pronounce it. He's the Lord of hosts. He controls the heavenly, celestial, stars. He can control the weather and all these things. He controls all of that. He controls all of that. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. And so you'll find Hezekiah was about to die. Isaiah came to see him and said, "You know, you got to set your house in order, for you'll surely die." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, and the Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, adding 15 years to his life." When he got back to Hezekiah, Hezekiah was like, "Give me a sign. How do I know this is really going to happen?" And so Isaiah said, "What would you like for it to happen?" He said, "Tell the Lord to let the sun be turned backwards." He had a sundial. He said, "Let the sun be turned back." Hezekiah's sundial turned back. Once again, we see the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, Sabaoth, however you all pronounce it. I like Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. Oh, man. But anyway, turned the sun back. Time went backwards. Turned the sun back. And so this is God. We see God using the host, the heavenly host, on our behalf for our deliverance, for our protection. And so it's wonderful to know that he is a God who commands the armies. He commands the hosts. And so the heavenly celestial bodies are part of that host of stars. He created the heaven, the earth, all the host of them. He knows them by name. He knows them by name. So God can just speak, "Move over there." I don't know their names, but he could just speak to a galaxy and say, "Move over to the right. Richard, move to the right." I'm just giving him the name Richard. I don't know today. But each of the stars have a name. Each of them have a name. Richard, get to the right. He commands the stars. He knows them all by name. Gazillion of them, unlimited number of them. He knows all of them by name. He commands the army. He's the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, Sabaoth, for my Hebrew scholars. Jehovah Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth. Okay, well, let's look at another. So let me give you some other examples of some of the hosts that God commands as Lord of hosts. He also commands angelic hosts. So God has an army of angels. You know, there are several scriptures that talks about the number of angels. There are some that says there's innumerable number of angels. Psalm says there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands upon thousands. So once again, the angels are kind of like the stars. It's just almost an infinite number of them. I heard a mathematician, he took the scriptures, he did the math calculations, and he said when he came up with the number, I forgot what the number was, but when he came up with the number, he figured out how many angels there were based on the scriptures. He took it and applied math to it. And then he took the number of people on earth, and then he said this percent of people on earth are Christian. And so then he divided the number of Christians by the number of angels, and he said, according to this math, each Christian has X number of angels assigned to them. And it was a big number. I mean, I can't remember exactly. I think it was like 70,000. Each Christian had like 70,000 angels assigned just based on the number of angels and the number of Christians that are on the planet today. Man, it was fascinating. And, you know, it gives a little credence to that because Jesus prayed when they got ready to take him. He said, don't you know I could have prayed to my Father? He would have sent me 72,000 angels, 12 legions, or 6 legions. I forgot which one it was. But anyway, I think it ended up being 72,000 angels. Jesus said, I could pray and 72,000 angels show up right now. So he's the God of hosts. And so there's an innumerable company of angels that are in God's army that he commands. In fact, Joshua bumped into one of them when he was right around working with the situation in Jericho. There was a large man with a sword drawn, and Joshua went up to him and he said, are you for us or are you against us? This was a gigantic warrior. And he said, really, I am the captain of the Lord's army. Now, some scholars believe that that was actually Jesus because Jesus, you know, some scholars believe Jesus slipped into the Old Testament. But he was the captain of the Lord's army. He commanded the host of the Lord. He was the captain, and he was a big guy. So I'm sure Joshua was glad to find out he was on their side. I mean, Joshua like, phew. I mean, this is a gigantic guy there. And Joshua just ran up to make sure. He said, are you with us or are you against? Joshua was trying to get that clear because he really didn't want to go up against this guy. This guy was huge. And the guy said, I'm the captain of the Lord's army. I'm the captain of the Lord's army. So now we know God has an army of angels. God has an army of angels, and that's called the Lord's host. So that's why the Lord is the Lord of hosts. He not only commands the stars and the celestial planets and beings and all of that, he commands the angelic beings. He commands a host of angels, and they are, oh man, there are a plenitude of angels, different sizes, different ranks, different classes, different assignments, all type of angels, and God commands all of them. God commands the angels. God commands the angels. And now these angels are, of course, sent to minister to us. Listen to this one. This is Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Listen to this one. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Do you know one angel killed 185,000 soldiers? Just one angel. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers. Assyrian soldiers. One angel. The captain of that army woke up one morning. He thought all of his men had overslept. No, they didn't oversleep. They were all dead. 185,000 men were killed by one angel. One angel. So angels are powerful beings. They're sent to minister for us. We are heirs of salvation. We are heirs of salvation. And so God, he's the Lord of hosts. He commands an angelic angel. Listen to this, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. So angels carry out God's word. And so we understand that this innumerable company of angels, they've been assigned to assist us. They've been assigned to protect us. Psalms 34, 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about him that fears God. So you have to know, angels have been given assignment. They've been given duty to protect you. They've been given charge to keep you. You have to know your covenant of protection. You have to know your right. You have to know your inheritance as a believer, as a child of God. And so you have to begin to visualize. This is what I do. I visualize my angels with me. I visualize them around my car when I drive. I visualize them around my house at home. I visualize them when I'm walking down the street. I visualize them with me. I visualize them flanking me the same way that the Secret Service flanks the president. You visualize that because they are there, according to Scripture. They are there the same way that Secret Service protects the president. Your angels have been given charge over you. You don't believe me, you go into the Scriptures, you look at Elisha. Elisha, once again, he was dealing with the army. He was dealing with the military. And the military that was fighting Israel, they were very strategic. And so they were plotting and planning to take Israel. And every time they plan something, you know, they may say, we're going to get them tomorrow at 6 p.m., but tomorrow at 6 p.m., Israel wouldn't be there. And so every time they came up with a plan, you know, Israel slipped away. They were not there. And so they couldn't figure out. And in fact, they said, there's a traitor among us because somebody is telling Israel everything we plan. And then somebody said, no, Captain, it's not a traitor among us. They have a prophet over there, and he's telling the king everything you whisper in your bedchamber. And so the king and the army, they went and surrounded Elisha. They surrounded this city that Elisha was in. And his little servant Gehazi came out and said, Master, we're in trouble. We're surrounded. Elisha came out and did like this. He said, that's nothing, son. And then he said, God, open his eyes that he may see that there are more with us. Now, these angels were there all the time. God simply opened Gehazi's eyes so he could see them. They were there. Elisha knew they were there. They were there all around chariots of fire, all around the mountain, surrounded them. And Elisha said, God, blind this army. Those angels covered those guys. They covered the eyes of their army. They were completely blind. And Elisha led them right over into their camp, to Israel's camp. And man, so we see it all through Scripture. So Elisha knew they were there, even though he couldn't see them. He knew they were there. He knew they were there by faith. He knew they were there by God's word. He didn't have to see them. Now, Gehazi, I needed to see him. So what I'm trying to say is, you don't have to see them to know that they're there. They're there because we know they're there based on what the word says. So by faith, we know they are there. So you don't have to see them. When you have to see them, now you're getting over into sight, which is what Gehazi needed. He needed sight. We don't need sight. We got to know they're there based on what God's word says. So God's word says they are there. They are there. So the angels are all around in here right now. In fact, there may be one sitting right next to you. Right there. Right there. Right there. They're all around the walls. They're all around. They're all around here. I know it. How do I know it? I know it by faith in God's word. I don't have to see the angels. I know they're here. I know they're present. I know their assignment that they've been given. I know the assignment that they've been given. They're here to assist us. They're here to minister for us. They're here to protect us. They've been given charge over us. And he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts that commands the angelic army to protect you. Praise God. He commands the angels to protect you. So you have to know your covenant of protection there, and you walk in that confidence. You walk in that confidence, and you don't have to see them. You know they're there. Just like Elisha, he knew they were there. He knew they were there. And so, oh man, we have that covenant. Now, I wish I had a little bit more time to get into that, but I'm out of time. But I don't have time to get into it. But listen to this. Then there are other hosts. There are other hosts that God commands. God even commands the host of birds, host of animals. God commanded a raven to feed Elijah twice a day. He fed him bread and meat twice a day. Bird room service. This was before Uber Eats. This was before Uber Eats. This was before Uber Eats. This bird delivered food to Elijah by the brook twice a day. And there was not a delivery charge. There was no tip. He flipped Uber Eats model on his head. Well, God commands the animals. He made a donkey talk. All of the hosts of the animal kingdom are under his control. All the hosts, it's God's controls. And check this out. Here's a further tip for you. We are in the, you ever heard, we're in the army of the Lord. He commands us. We are his hosts. The Lord told me the other day to help a young man. He laid it on my heart to help a young man. What was I? I'm part of the Lord's army. I'm his host. He didn't command me, but he laid it on my heart to do something for him. He laid it on my heart to do something for him. I'm part of his host. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. He commands his host. He commands his host. He is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. God can even command your enemies to bless you. God can even make your enemies bless you. I wish I had time to go into that. I don't. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Praise God. Praise God. Man, it's just so good to know. I had never thought of God as the Lord of hosts. But that's one of his names. That's one of his names. He commands the armies. He commands his hosts. He's in full control, full authority. He can use anything and everything he wants to. He's all powerful. He has all control. He has all authority. He has all authority of everything in heaven and earth, and even outside of the earth, even outside of heaven. He's God overall. He controls it all. He controls it all. He controls it all. He controls it all. A lot of people think that the devil is a match for God. The devil is not God's equal. God flicked the devil out of heaven with the flick of his finger. Jesus said, I beheld Satan falling from heaven. He flicked his finger and kicked the devil out of heaven. Flicked his finger. He's no comparable match to God. He's no comparable match to God. He's the God of hosts, controls all the armies. Even the demons said, Jesus, are you coming to torment us before the time? Even they know their days are numbered. They know their days are numbered. We're part of God's army to carry out the assignment for the Lord of hosts, to carry the gospel throughout the earth, to carry the message, to love, to bless, to be light, to be salt, to be influence of light in this dark world. We're in God's army. We're in God's army, and we're under the command of the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth, Sabaoth, if you are a Hebrew scholar. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Those of you who are watching by television, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can listen to this entire series absolutely free of charge, The Names of God. And you can also email them to a friend. But thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part two of the series titled The Names of God, subtitled Jehovah Sabaoth, by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 7921. That's 7921. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 7921 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the word.
Brother.